Okay, all right, shalom everybody, Elohim Tov. All right, Pastor Ben is here. So I hate this corona thing, man. I miss everybody. So we're going to get into a very much a teaching Bible study tonight, because I have to be almost like a lawyer tonight and kind of break things down to people and show them that the Bible has always picked this 120th year for the judgment. And you got that?
Yeah.
All right, so I want to pray in, and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity, Father God. I just pray that you would give me the patience to lay out this information the way you've given it to me, Father God, so that people may understand it in a simple way. Thank you, Father God, for your call. Thank you, Father God, for your ministry. And we just pray for all the people all around the world who are listening, that they will get understanding. And we pray that they got the Bible study by email, and that they can follow, Father God, in Jesus' name, so that they can this can be simple to them, so they can see that you are coming, and this is the year of the flood, and that those who love you need to be prepared and ready to go. In Jesus' name, we give you praise, we give you thanks. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to clear up one thing, first of all, Pastor Ben. We've been doing this since, what, 2004?
Yep.
When God called us, he starts showing us all kinds of things. So we were showing, if God showed it to us, we showed it to everybody.
Yep.
One of the things that we don't understand, and I always wondered about this when I was a kid, because all of our symbols in the United States are Egyptian, and we have nothing. We got a pyramid on the back of our dollar. And how close are we to Egypt? I'm like, well, what's up with the pyramid? And then on the other side, you have this, well, they say it's an eagle, but it's the Illuminati says it's a phoenix bird, okay? But you have to understand what, who designed this dollar, okay? The people that printed money or got control of the money system of the United States, was able to print our money, and then they were able to put their symbols and what they wanted to on the dollar bill. Have you ever seen the $20 bill when you fold it, and it's the Twin Towers on the back, and it looks like they just got hit, right?
Yeah.
I was like, the people that designed the $20 bill knew that they were going to attack the Twin Towers, and they designed that new $20 bill so it could be folded and you could see the Twin Towers on the back of it. So it was absolutely crazy, but it let people know that the people who are printing the money are very evil, right? So we have to understand that. I wanted to clear up one thing, because on the back of our dollar bill is another symbol that is very satanic, but we see it, or some of the people see it, as being the seal, the president's seal, okay? But they had a problem. I don't know how close you can show this, Pastor Ben. Let's get it close there, because I want them to see that bird on the back of that dollar bill.
Right here?
Yeah. You see that bird on the back of that dollar bill? Okay, now, If you do a careful analysis of that, you say, wow, he has arrows in one grip, and then he has an olive branch in the other grip, and then he has 13 stars above the eagle's head. And this is a symbol declaring that the phoenix, through war, and you'll see, there's 13 arrows, okay? If you count them, you'll count. There's 13 arrows. The people are very into numbers, okay? 9/11 didn't just happen on 9/11. They chose that day.
Right.
They're into numbers just as God is into numbers. Okay, and then if you look at the olive branch, there's 13 leaves in the olive branch, okay? And then above the head of the, I'll say the phoenix bird, is 13 stars, okay? So you got 13, 13, 13, which is actually rebellion, 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 okay? Now, the sixth number, the sixth odd number in numerical value system, so you would have 9, 11, which is the number of confusion, okay? And then the last number you have is 13, okay? So understand what they're doing here. They're talking about the number 13 being the number of rebellion, okay? So this number is representing rebellion. If you look up dragon, you'll find that 13 times in the book of Revelation, you have the word dragon, because this is about rebellion. Well, their thing is they were declaring, and we had this from, we received it from the Freemasons when we put together the whole thing. We wanted to know, I wanted to know what was it. And it said, they said the 13 arrows represent that through war, they will have victory. And the 13 leaves on the olive branch says they will have control over Israel, okay? And then you have the 13 stars above the phoenix, which is actually a Jewish star. But when you're encircling it, you're doing witchcraft. So they have a Jewish star with the 13 stars above, and they're encircling it, so that means witchcraft, right? So this is their sign of rebellion. Now, this sign, this thing appeared on the president's podium for I guess, until about a couple of weeks ago, okay? So some brother in Christ, I'm being very nice, said, oh, they took the president's symbol off of the podium. Okay, now, from sources, I understand that what they saw this symbol every time they went into the tunnels to do rescues. Ooh. Okay, so every satanic pedophile thing they were breaking up, they were seeing this symbol.
Wow.
So they want to know, why do they have the president's symbol in all of these pedophile satanic situations, you know? And so someone explained to them what it actually means, right? This has nothing to do with United States. This has to do with a Luciferian boast,
right?
Through rebellion, we're going to conquer Israel and have them in our hands through war. And the phoenix bird is going to rise. Now, where they have the star here, instead of putting the stars, they put the pyramid with the all-seeing eye on the top of the pyramid, which is the eye of Lucifer.
Right.
So they're saying, and now there's, if you count it, there's 13 steps all the way to the top of the pyramid. Then you have the all-seeing eye, which is the crown or the capstone on top of the pyramid. Well, in Revelation chapter 18, the scripture says that Jesus will come and he will be the capstone. He is the capstone that will be on the pyramid. But they're saying, oh no, Lucifer, the all-seeing eye, is going to be the capstone. He's going to be the one to rule the world. So this is a declaration, what you guys see as a president's seal. This is a decoration, a satanic decoration for conquering United States, Israel, and crowning Lucifer as your king, okay?
You think Trump knew that?
They do now. That's why they took it off. Okay, so they removed it and the flag as well. They removed it and they also removed the flag as well, okay? And it was a bold statement to them that we're in control.
Oh, dude.
Okay. It is not he's lost power. He's not the president anymore. There is a underlying war going over for the power of this world. And they're using this pandemic to make sure that they let the world know that they have control and to try to ruin the American economy, because Trump was building the economy up and he's doing all these things. And so they really wanted him out of there. And that war is still going on. Right. So anyway, you have a president that is thoroughly and still fighting against child pedophilia and satanic worship using children in that. So as they rescue kids and as they arrest pedophiles, they're seeing this symbol. Like, why are they having this? Why would they have the American seal on a satanic, in a satanic situation? Well, it's not. It was never for America. Right. Just like the pyramids, not for America. Okay, so. Praise God, it was a bold move. I thought, wow, he took it off of there. Because I thought they'd never take that off of there, because they, you know, it's an American symbol now. But no, as soon as they found out what it's for, they said, take it off. And get rid of the flag, too. He used to have the flag behind him, too, with the same symbol. Say, get rid of the flag and take the thing off. Now it just says the White House, Washington. I said, that's a bad dude. He ain't scared of nobody.
That's why he was trying to get him on.
Yeah. Okay, so... praise God to everyone all over. We are going to look at something. Listen, I want you guys to understand something. And I really want you to really kind of be in a state of learning, okay? Because I have to go through this step by step so that you can learn this, okay? Because this is very important. From God to you, this is very important, because God's trying to give you eternal life and someone's trying to hide it from you. And it's been that way since you were a kid. Okay. So, and the battle is still on for what? For your soul. Okay. Because you can't die. You have to live somewhere forever. So the battle is on for your soul. And so through understanding of what God is doing and what's and the war that's going on over you, and this war is over you, okay, you need to know how do I protect what God has given me? And what has God given you? Eternal life through Jesus Christ, okay? So you got to learn how to protect your soul so that you're ready to go when Jesus comes. And he is coming, okay? Unless he just wrote half of the Bible as a joke. He is coming, because rapture is all through the Bible. Amen. We went over it last week. Rapture starts in Genesis, second chapter, right? Amen. So I want us to look at this. Now, in the book of Genesis, we're going to go there because this is very important to know. Genesis chapter 3. Okay. Here we go. I'm going to start reading from chapter 1, okay? From verse 1. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, that daughters were born to them. The sons of God," that means the angels, "saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took wives of them which they chose," okay? "And the Lord said, my spirit," he's speaking to Noah at this time, right? "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Okay? So God is declaring to Noah to build the ark. The time allotted to you, to this human race right now, because my spirit is not going to keep striving with them. It's not going to keep pleading with them. It's not going to keep, you know, begging them to do right, to be righteous. Okay. He says, my spirit is not going to continue to dwell with them. In 120 years, I'm taking it out. And so he's letting Noah know a judgment is coming on the world. Noah is 480 years when God tells him this. When Noah turned 600 years old, let's go to chapter 7, verse 11. It says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of heaven were open, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, some people forget that the world has been judged before. Okay, so they live as if nothing is going to happen, even though Jesus says in Matthew, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Okay? Now, as it was in the days of Noah. So he said, as things were happening in the days of Noah, as the judgment came in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. What is going to happen on that day? I want to go to Matthew because I don't know who's listening and how much they know. So in Matthew chapter 24, we got quite a Bible study, and so I'm giving you a layout here, okay? I think it's in 38. It says, for in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. You see that? So it's going to be the exact same way. Eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. Someone said, well, how's the world? No, you can't even get married now. It's like everything's closed. And no, you go to court, they'll still marry you, right? But they're saying, oh, it's not going to be eating and drinking. It's going to be like it's the world's crazy right now. Like, okay, listen, even though I'm telling you this, Japan reopened everything today.
What?
Did you see that?
No.
They had a light show. They opened all their stores, all the malls open.
No.
The airlines back open. They can fly within the country, wherever they want to go. They reopened everything. And the same thing is going to happen here. I'm trying to tell you. But you can't get out of focus. It's still the 120th year. The Bible has warned you that it will be a day people will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until that day comes. What is going to happen on that day? Look, it says, that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, saying the word perolambano, which means to be taken as a friend or a companion, and the other left, divorced, which is what the word in Greek means. And it says two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other one divorced or sent away or left, okay? Therefore, watch, because who's saying this? This is all in red, right? Mm-hmm. Therefore, Christ is saying, so therefore, keep watch, keep your eyes open, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, that if the owner of the house had known, so he's telling you what? To watch. Keep your eyes open to what's going on in the world, okay? How long did we go to church as kids, as young adults? We never heard one word about Israel's being rebirthed back on the earth.
Not a word.
Why not? Since that's the pivotal period in the history of mankind, that the nation of Israel would disappear for 2,520 years, and then after exactly 2,520 years, appear back on the earth as a nation. And we went to church, people jumped and shouted and ran all over the place, and not one person said Israel's back in the land, because nobody's watching.
Right.
People were playing church, but when nobody's watching, what God is doing, okay?
Amen.
All right, so here we go. The 120 years is important, okay? Now, When God said to Noah, the judgment's coming in 120 years, was that the first time God used the symbol of 120 years to announce judgment? The answer is no. The first judgment that came upon the whole world was because of Adam and Eve's sin. And the scripture said Adam did not sin, but Eve is the one who sinned. Adam ate because he loved his wife, yeah. Okay? Just like Jesus didn't have to partake in sin, but because he loves us, he partook of sin, mm-hmm. and he died on the cross. Yeah. So when Eve sinned, that brought a judgment upon the whole world. Yes. Now, if you don't know and understand Hebrew, I'm going to teach you basic stuff tonight, because you need to know the reason you have 66 Bibles, books in the Bible is because you have 22 Hebrew letters. God is a Trinity, okay? So he made a perfect book, a base for us to learn from, and a base for us to check truth on, okay? Because if you read something and it contradicts with the Bible, you can always go back to your base and say, that can't be true because it says it right here in the Bible, right? So these 66 books are God's base. The first 22 are the 22 Hebrew letters. Then it starts another set of 22. They're based on 22 Hebrew letters. Then another 22, and they're based on Hebrew letters. But the whole Bible is based on the fact that there are 22 Hebrew letters, okay? So the Bible is constructed in a way that really you can't really ever get to the bottom of it, okay? But you can understand the truth of it, which is the fact that Jesus came and died on the cross, and that there was a judgment before, and he promised there's another judgment coming, and he said that judgment will be by fire, but Jesus says it will be just as it was in the days of Noah. So that 120-year generation came, and in the 120th year, the flood began. So God says it's going to be the same. So God gave us a marker, the 1900s. The 1900s are going to show you that God is counting from 1900 to 2020. And when you get to 2020, you're at the end of that 120-year count. You're not at the end of it. You start at the beginning of the 120th on March 26th, because that is the first day of the year for God. That is Nisan 1. Okay. So let's look at the board here. And then after I teach you this, we're gonna really get into studying this. Okay, this is the word Samech from the Bible. Okay, that's from the Hebrew letters. Okay, 22 letters. This is the 15th letter of the Bible. Okay, that is the 15th letter of the Bible. It is. Lord said, just teach it. Because I'm trying to make sure that people understand. But I want you to know this is the 15th letter of the Bible. The 15th letter of the Bible has a numerical value, and the numerical value is 60. Now, this letter does something that God does in the Bible, which is gematria, okay? You have to understand gematria. Like I was telling someone the other day, in the book of Deuteronomy, it says Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Or it doesn't say Jesus is the rock. God is declaring to Israel, I am the rock that saves you. I am the rock that brought you out of Egypt. I am the rock. And he uses this word, tazor, which has a numerical value in Hebrew of 296. But if you go 296 times 3, the Trinity is 888, which is the numerical value for Jesus in the New Testament. So God is always using numerical values so that you can understand that he's not only present in the Old Testament, but he's present in the New Testament, and it all links together, okay? So, but in this, he's trying to give you understanding of what he's doing, okay? Now, this letter is the 15th letter. This is what I did here, what I wrote out here is called a full gematria in Hebrew. Full gematria simply means that every letter in the Hebrew is also a word. Like Aleph, which is means the Aleph or the Aluf, the highest. Bet, which would be the B in Hebrew, it means a house. Gimel would mean kindness or something of this nature. And then delete, it means door, right? So the fourth letter. So all of the letters are sounded out because all of the letters are actual words, okay? Samek is a letter, but written out is written out like this, and it has a full gematria when it's written out. The full gematria of the 15th letter of the Hebrew is 120. Samek is 60, Mem is 40, and a Kaf is 20. So it's 120. Now, only God can do this. So then you go 15, 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 plus 7 plus 8 plus 9 plus 10 plus 11 plus 12 plus 13 plus 14 plus 15 equals 120. So God is like a mathematician, and he's like, I'm letting you know that my word is perfect, okay? Now, so the Samek, even though it's the 15th letter, it is also the 120th. Well, guess what God does with this letter? Samek means support, helper, right? Or helpmate. So when God made Eve, he made Eve to be a helpmate, okay? So Eve became Adam's support. She became his helpmate. So God uses this letter the first time he's creating a human being, and he uses this letter in the sentence as he's creating Eve, when he takes the rib out and he closes up the segur, he closes up the womb, and then Adam is asleep and God is creating Eve, okay? Once God creates Eve, I'm sure Adam must have told her what the rules are. Now look, we can eat of all these trees, but the tree in the middle of the garden, we are not supposed to eat. If we eat of it, we're gonna die. So she knew the rules, but Nahash, the snake, fooled her and told her, well, he didn't completely fool her, because the scripture says that Eve saw that the fruit was good for wisdom and it looked delicious, right? So she was really desiring it in her heart. All Nahash was doing, the snake was doing, was giving her a reason to do it, because he's like, it'll make you wise, you'll become Ki Elohim. And Ki Elohim means like God, okay? It's the first Hebrew word that equals 666. Ooh. So when you got people telling you, oh, you're gonna be like God, or you're gonna be a God, it's the first word in the Hebrew that equals 6. So he's telling her, you're gonna be like God. And she, of course, eats it, she sins, and then she gives some to her husband, who willingly takes some, because what are you gonna do? You know what I mean? Baby, you gotta die on your own, not me, I'm not going.
Right?
He's like, no, okay. If you're gonna die, I'm gonna die, because this is what love is, right?
Right.
So he eats, and then now sin has entered the whole world. Sin has not entered just the garden. Sin has entered the whole world. Every sin that is saturated through this world started with one sin, and that sin came through Eve, and that judgment was upon the whole world. So Eve is connected to what? Samek, the helper, the helpmate. And the numerical value is 120. So basically the first judgment on the world came because of Semek, Eve. Okay? So now, you have the 120, and that's Eve. So now, when God finally gets to Adam, I mean to Noah, and he says, I'm going to judge the world, he doesn't just pick 120. He now has a pattern. He's like, sin entered through 120. Now I'm going to give you 120. Because from that point on, every time 120 comes up, there's going to be a judgment.
Amen.
Okay? So when the 120 comes up next time, it's at the time of the flood, and there's a judgment. What other times are in the scripture that bring a judgment at 120? Moses died. How old was Moses when he died? 120. What did God say? Because you did not obey me when you spoke to the people, you are not going into the promised land. Moses' judgment came upon him when? When he died at the age of 120. Okay? What's the other 120? I have it in the back here. Oh. Then we have the judgment of Israel, right? Saul is king. We'll get to it. I'm not there yet, you guys, with the paper. Saul becomes king. How long does Saul remain king? Israel didn't need Saul. God was their king, but they wanted Saul to be their king. So Saul ruled over them for 40 years. Then he was no longer king. Then David came in. David ruled for how long? 40 years. Then he was done. Then Solomon came and he ruled for how long? 40 years. 40, 40, and 40 is what? 120. And then what happened? God judged Israel, divided the nation, sent 2 to the south and 10 to the north, and all of this, right? And so now you have this judgment against the nation of Israel, pushing them out of the land and causing them to go and to disperse into the whole world. Okay? So the judgment came after 120. I want to express this also, but a lot of people are not familiar with gematria, but you must understand gematria. On this back page right here, see that back page? It says this, we'll get back to this, but I just wanted to express this right now. Samson removed the pillars, okay? It says, then Samson reached toward the 2 pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on one and his left hand on the other, and he pushed the pillars out of the way. And once he pushed the pillars out of the way, what happened to him? The whole stadium collapsed on the Philistine, and judgment fell on them, and they all died, 3,000, because he did what? He pushed the pillars out of the way. And what are the pillars? In the Hebrew, the numerical value, as if I can read without of Amod, which means pillars. The numerical value is 120. The numerical value for the congregation, which meaning the church, is 120. So once the church gets pushed out, then judgment can come, okay? But it can't come till judgment is pushed out. Now, this is what, and it'll be kind of weird, so I'm not gonna try and write it, but I'm gonna show it to you. Okay, so we go, in English we say, how old did she live? They said she lived to be very old. How old? She lived to be 105, right? You go, wow, 105. Now, she actually is 105. Why do we add the "and" in there? Okay, she's 105 because that comes from the Hebrew word, which is this right here. This is a vav. See, that's a vav. So now if I write 120, I would have to write 100 miat ve asrim. Okay? That would have a numerical value. But as soon, but if I take out the vav, you know what the vav stands for? Salvation. If I take out the vav, 120 written out in Hebrew is 666. So God is telling you in the Hebrew, in the 120, salvation will be removed, then the 666 will take over. So in every way, God is showing you it all happens in the 120. Now, this was my challenge on the way to Hawaii when we went to go preach there and visit our beautiful family there. 15, because it's the 15th letter. Is it possible that everywhere where it mentions the number 15 in Hebrew, in the Bible, that a judgment has happened? A resurrection, a judgment, something. So that's what we're going to look at right now, okay? So let me, I'll get back over here right now because we're going to be on the pages. Because we don't want to say, well, you know, it was just by chance that it was 120 years. And then when Moses died when he was 120 years, that was just another chance that happened. And then when Eve sinned and her number is Samech, and that's 120, that was just another coincidence. And then when the three kings ruled for 40 years each, and then judgment came after the 120, that was just another coincidence. And so I just want you to know that you got to keep saying it's a coincidence, because Jesus told you to watch, and you know, to want to be deceived, you have to keep saying it was a coincidence, right? Okay, so I'm just saying, don't do that to yourself. All right, I want you to know, we're in the 120th year. A judgment is coming, and you have to be ready. Oh, yeah, please turn it. I was wondering. I was like, it's not summer. What am I sweating for? Okay. I want us to go to Genesis chapter 7, verse 19 and 20. And I'm going to read it from the page that I have here so that we can get the... Now watch this. Okay, so now it's the 120th year and the flood just happened, okay? But God has to throw 15 in there. Why? Because 15 is directly linked to what? 120. Okay, so it says here in Genesis chapter 7, verse 19 and 20, and the waters prevailed exceeding upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the water prevail, and the mountains were covered. So when the water proceeded how long? 15 cubits upward, then everything was flooded. Then all the hills were underground. So all the judgment, the whole world was now underground. But it didn't happen till when? The 15th cubit, till it rose up 15 cubits. Okay, so it says complete judgment did not happen till the 15th cubit. Okay, now in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 6, and he says this to the king, Hezekiah, because the king Hezekiah had a problem. He was sick, and God said to Isaiah, go tell the king to prepare your house, you're going to die. Your judgment is now, okay? And then so Isaiah's leaving the palace, and he comes back, and he says, and because God told him to go back and tell him that I'm going to bless you and give you 15 more years, okay? So he says, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hands of the king of Assyria. And I will defend the city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. So this king was about to die, but God said this, I'm not going to judge you now. I'm going to judge you after when? After the 15. Because the Samech, the 15 is linked to the 120, and the judgment always comes at when? The 120. But in the scripture, God sees the 15, because it's the 15th letter, he sees it as being as the same as the judgment coming as the 120. Because it's all linked. I mean, that's crazy. 1 + 2 + 3 + 4 + 5 all the way to 15 equals 120. I mean, I just wonder, just like, how is God doing all this? You write a book and you're putting all this together at the same time. Okay, let's look at this incident that happened. Lazarus had died. They told Jesus, hey, Lazarus died. And they said he remained there another day. He didn't even go see. He didn't go right away. So now he decides, okay, I'm going to go take care of Lazarus. Then it says, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the, he had laid in the grave for 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, even 15 furlongs off. Okay? Now, if your Bible says about 15, that's not good Greek. It should say even or as 15, or because it's like saying you are, he is, or love your Lord Jesus Christ, even God Almighty. Mm-hmm. It means not only that he is Jesus, but he's also God Almighty. Yeah. So it's saying that this, so he's saying here, he's 15 furlongs away from Jerusalem. So that means until he walked 15 furlongs, Lazarus couldn't get resurrected.
Right.
But he had to walk 15 furlongs, and then when he walked 15 furlongs, Lazarus got resurrected. Okay? So what is God showing you? The resurrection comes after the 120. The resurrection comes after the Semet. The resurrection comes after the 15th. Judgment, because the numbers are linked, is always going to be right there, just the way it was in 120.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's look at this. Esther chapter 9, verse 18. It says, but the Jews were at Shushan, assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th day thereof, and on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th of the month of Adar and the 15th of the same yearly. And it says, as in 22, it says, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies. So they got rescued when? On the 15th day of the month. You see that? So why is it? See, because when the rapture happens, you have to understand, when the rapture happens, it's a judgment and it's a rescue at the same time. Remember, two are in one place. One is taken to be with friend of God. The other one left. So judgment and rescue is happening on the same day. So here we have, I mean, Lazarus got rescued.
Amen.
Israel on this 15th day is being rescued. After the 15th year with King Hezekiah, he died. After 15 cupids rose above the earth, the water was over the whole world. That was judgment going on. Okay? So now we're going to look at this, and this is one of my favorite. If you never read the whole book of Acts, it's the best movie you will ever watch. So I want you to go to Acts chapter 27. I knew we would only get here, Pastor Ben. Acts chapter 27. And we are going to read this incredible story. Okay. Now, we're going to start off in verse 21. And I'll explain what's going on, cuz Paul's got to go to Rome, and Paul has to stand before Caesar. And God has promised Paul You're going to go to Rome and you're going to stand before Caesar. Okay. But now he's on this boat. And there's a big, storm happening, okay? Whereas everybody on the boat, half of them are prisoners, and everybody on the boat is scared to death. Everybody thinks we're going to die, right? Paul is trying to tell them, listen, God promised me I'm going to stand before Caesar.
Yes.
So don't just do what I tell you to do, and don't abandon the ship, because if you abandon the ship, you're gone. But I'm going to stand before Caesar. If you stay with me, you're going to be safe. Okay? So here it is. We're going to be in verse 21, starting to read this. And it says, and the men had gone a long time without food. Paul stood up before them and said, men, wait a minute. Can I start there? The ship tackle. Yeah. I'm gonna start there. I'm sorry. Okay. So he said, Paul stood before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now they're on the boat. It's too late, right? They've already sailed out from Crete. Now listen. Are we there? Are you guys at the part of Acts? Let's flip over to the other side. Because this is what I want you to know. They're going to be on this boat. They're going from Crete to Melita. You know what Crete means? The flesh. You know what Melita means? The land of honey. So this whole boat trip that they're taking is a journey that their life is on the line, but they've been promised that they're going to reach Malta, which is what it's called now, which is the land of honey, okay? But right now, they just left the flesh. They just left Crete, which is flesh, okay? So here we go. Verse 22. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God, whose name I am, and who I serve, stood before me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across Adriatic Sea, the Adriatic Sea, when about midnight, the sailor sensed they were approaching land. They thought, hey, we're getting close. We're getting to land. So he says, they took soundings and found that the water was, see, I do not like this. Now I got to go to my King James, because this, they're going to start saying the miles and all that stuff. And we can't do that. And I hope they do it properly here, because this is a new King James.
What should it say?
Because they're measuring what they call from this point in my hand to this point in my hand, and they're saying this is called a fathom, okay? And they're calling it a fathom because they're saying, like, from this point in my hand to this point in my hand, and they drop the rope down to see how many fathoms the water was deep, so they would know if they could get out because they see land, but they really don't know how deep the water is. Okay? Here we are. I'm in 27 now. And I apologize that I did that because I should have read it in Hebrew. I mean, in this verse. Okay, where are we at? We in 22. Okay. And it says, and now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me at night the angel of the Lord, and he told him, okay, we read that part. And he says, so do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God, and it will be as he told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. It says, now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near land, and they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they took the sounding again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest they should run aground on the rock, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. Now I'm going to be in verse 30 when I get back. I'm going to tell you what they were doing, because I had to look at this today, okay? A fathom is like, it's an uncertain measurement, okay? I take a rope and I go from this finger to that finger and I say, okay, so if we do this 15 times, it's going to be 15 times tall as you are, okay? So we'll drop the rope down and we'll know how deep the water is according to the fathoms, okay? The only problem is, for me it's 6'3". For you it's going to be like, what, 5'11", 5'10"? You know, some, my wife is 5'4". So a fathom is kind of like, whoever did the measurement, that's what we're using as the fathom. Okay, so they drop the sounding, the rope into the water to see, because they see land, but they don't know how close they are. They drop the fathom down and they say, oh, it's 20 fathoms. That's pretty deep. So they go a little further and they drop the rope down again and they say, oh, look, it's 15 fathoms. Okay, so now they're getting like, okay, it's getting shorter, so maybe we should get ready to get out of the boat. So now they're going to drop the anchor, okay? Now, it says, and they took the sounding and found it to be 20 fathoms, and when they had gone a little farther, they took the sounding again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest they should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the ship into the sea under the pretense of putting out the anchor for the prow, Paul said to them, so now this is what they're doing. They don't want Paul to know they're about to jump ship, right? So they're acting like, oh, we're just putting this out right now, but we're not. But Paul knows they're about to jump ship. Why? Because they see they're at 15 fathoms and they think, oh my goodness, the water's getting closer, so now we should just jump out. So, but it's an uncertain thing. You understand? So Paul says to them, Paul said to the centurions and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Do you understand that? So God is saying the same thing to us to this day. You are going from wherever you got born again, you're going to the land of honey, okay? But you have to understand, staying on the ship is just like staying on the ark. You have to stay on the ark because you have salvation, you're born again, Don't get off, because God has promised you what? The land of honey. They're about to jump off because they think they're close to the time. You understand? You're not close to the time. Paul is like, stay on the boat. You're not close. And then with this whole disease thing going around, everybody, oh, Jesus is coming. God is coming. God, it's the end of the world. It may not be. You stay on the boat. You understand? Okay, so here it is. It says, then the soldiers cut away the rope, because Paul told them, if you don't stay on the boat, you won't be saved. So they cut away the rope of the ship, of the skiff, and let it fall off. And as the days were about to dawn, okay, remember that was the 14th day, okay? As the day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food and eating nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival. Since not a hair will fall from your heads, from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then it says, they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw the wheat into the sea. When it was day, okay, now the day before was the 14th. So now what day is it now? 15th. It's the 15th, okay? When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay, which a beach on which they had planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchor and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, losing the rudder and the rope, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. So they're letting the boat just ride in, okay? Even if they crash, they don't care. It says, but striking a place where two seas meet, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners. Remember, I told you that half of them were prisoners. Right. So they were saying, well, we got to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurions, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and go to the land, and the rest, some on board and some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to the land. Okay, so they made it, right? Mm-hmm. And then in chapter 28, it says, now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta, which means land of honey. And the natives showed us unusual kindness. Wow. And they kindled a fire and made it for us and welcomed us, because it had been raining and was failing because of the cold. So they reach the land of honey, and the strangers there are treating them very nice. Mm. So they made it from the flesh to the land of honey. But look at the journey they took. You understand? And look what day that they got rescued. Because on the 14th they ate, but the next morning was the 15th, and then they finally made it to their rescue.
Pastor Sandy?
Yes.
Ollie said, when you add 2 + 7 + 6, we go to 276 men,
mm-hmm.
equals 15.
Wow. I was wondering, If you add 2 plus 7 plus 6, it equals 15. So here God is again. He's like, I'm going to put these numbers in there so I let you know that the rescue is going to happen in the Semek once again, right? So once again, the rescue happens in the Semek, okay? So now, here we are, beautiful human beings, right? But our problem, you know what our problem, human beings' problem is? We can think.
Yeah, reason.
We can reason within ourselves. And we say, wait a minute, Trump has done good things and everything's back to normal. The malls are open. And you know what the world's going to say? Because they're not watching what Jesus told them to watch. They're going to say, oh my goodness, life is good again. Okay? Forget about, but they're forgetting about, you're still in the 120th year.
Yep.
Don't get off the ship, right? So now, God is showing, look, judgment has always been in the 120th. 15 is the letter, so I'm going to show you 15s in the Bible, and every one of them is going to be a resurrection or a judgment or a rescue, okay? I'm going to show you the 120. Everyone's going to be Moses, 120. Even the word 120, removing the vav is 666. Everything God is telling you, 120 is the judgment. You can look at all of the information, and I'll send it to you if you want it. You can look at all of the information, and then you have to go back. Now, this is a problem. This is a big problem, Pastor Ben. I got to say this before we go, and then we can go. Then we can shut it down. As I was on the other side of this, someone asked me, why did God choose the 1900s? Okay. In my Hebrew book, it said the number 19 is the basis of grace and manifestation, the holograph. And it said it relates to the idea of physical manifestation and the flesh and plays a central role in the course of world history with the rise of materialism in the 19th century. The link to all of this is amplified in this pair of identities. What identities they're talking about? The name Eve, who judgment begins with. Numerical value for her name is 19. So God says, in the 1900s, this is what's going to happen. The apostles come to Jesus and they say, tell us about the end. How will it be and what will occur at that time? And Jesus starts telling them about what's going to happen in the 1900s. How do I know? Because first of all, he says there's going to be famine. Okay. And Russia starved to death Ukraine, over 3.9 million people, Ukrainians, in 19, what, I guess, but it was before World War I started. So there was famine. Then World War I started in 1914, but it didn't just start in 1914. It started on a Jewish holiday, on the 9th of Av, yeah, which is a day of cursing for the Jews, okay? Then 1907, and then they win a war, and then they give Jerusalem their. Then 1933, and Hitler becomes chancellor. Then 1939, the Holocaust begins. Then Jesus is telling us, when you see the fig tree, which is Israel, but Jesus said this, when you see wars and rumors of war, don't be alarmed, because nothing happened yet. But he says, when you see nation rise against nation and kingdoms against kingdom, this is the beginning of trouble. World War I started in 1914. Jesus takes them straight to the 1900s when he tells them we're counting the 120 years. Now we get to Psalms and we start counting the 120 years, and God is prophesying in 1901. He puts a prophecy in Psalms 1. 1902, he puts a prophecy in Psalms 2. 1903, he puts a prophecy in Psalms 4. And then you get to Psalms 48, and he puts a whole thing about the rebirth of the nation of Israel to let you know, I know it's 1948. Yep. And he says, and by the way, Psalms is going to be the 19th book of the Bible. But if you count backwards from Revelation, it's going to be the 48th book of the Bible. So 1948, this is the pivotal End times that I'm telling you, count the 120 years, because the flood is going to begin at the end of the 120 years. So not the end of it, but during the 120. Because remember, it happened on the second month, on the 17th day of that year, the flood began. Okay? So, and that's May 11th for us. But we don't know that God's going to do it May 11th. We don't know if God's going to do it on Passover, because we're going to talk about Passover tomorrow. And,
Passover's today.
No, it's today. It was last night to today, sundown. Okay. But then now we're looking at resurrection then. We got to talk about resurrection because that's the 17th of Nisan. And that's the time of the reversing of the curse. Okay. So we'll look at that tomorrow. But don't be so smart that you say, I don't care how much evidence you show me. If the malls are open, nothing's going to happen. Don't do that. Don't do that. Look to Jesus and say, I'm ready. If you should come, I'm ready. All right. Praise God.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
We got a lot to do tomorrow.
Amen.
That was a lot.
Yeah, that was a lot.